You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, my beautiful people. Did you happen to see the Volvo commercial that went viral last week? If you're a father, or just you aspire to be a dad someday, and that commercial doesn't get you a little verklempt, then we are not the same. And well, you should probably talk amongst yourselves, because I have never once considered buying a Volvo, but it is the most powerful ad I've ever seen. And daddy just so happens to be in the market for a new vehicle. Well, not new. I don't buy new cars. New to me. How about that? I actually have a car right now for the first time in a long time. The way that went down, I was at a friend's Halloween party, and he was showing me his new truck. And I said, King, what are you going to do with that car in the garage? You know, because he lives in a nice neighborhood, you got to speak the Queen's English. So what's with the car in the garage? And he says, oh, that pile? Well, it's a lease. I've got to turn it back in around Christmas time. And I said, say no more, mate, because even though I've been to the UK and Australia, I can't get them straight. I don't know where to say shrimp on the Barbie. So I assumed his lease payments, and your boy is now cruising down the street real slow with the fellas be yelling, Marrero. That's a rap song from 1991. Marrero, that's a little town on what they call the West Bank in New Orleans. And when I hear that song, I think of Ryan Clark, who's from Marrero. You football fans will know who I'm talking about. He's always on ESPN. He'll join Scott Van Pelt after a big game and break it down, so to speak. He played safety for the Pittsburgh Steelers and won a Super Bowl with Troy Polamalu. Remember from the shampoo commercials? He had a bunch of hair. And when that song came out, I was playing against him quite a bit in basketball. So I've got a few stories about Ryan Clark, if you'll oblige me. When he played in the Super Bowl, they did a special on him and his West Bank upbringing. And to make it a story, they made it look like he came up out of the hood to become an NFL star. But I knew better because I kind of grew up with him. He was the point guard for JPRD West Bank, which stands for Jefferson Parish Recreation Department on the West Bank of the Mississippi River. And a parish is a county, for those of you who've only visited Louisiana to trade beads for boobs on Bourbon Street. That's a parish is a county. Louisiana is the only state in the United States that calls a parish or a county a parish. So I knew this dude came from a good family. And I knew he played organized basketball, which that requires staying in hotels over the weekend and that sort of thing. And then he played high school ball at Archbishop Shaw, which is a private Catholic high school. I don't know if you're familiar with Gell-Mann's amnesia, but the Gell-Mann amnesia effect is when you hear or read a story about something that you're not familiar with. And you just naturally trust what you've read because you don't know any better. But when you read about something that you are intimately familiar with, like something in the industry you work in, for example, you're like, wait a minute, that is not true. Or the story is about you. I've only had stories written about me a handful of times. And in each one of them, it never fails. There are falsehoods and misquotes. And just shit they made up to make a story out of it. And that is very common. Nothing egregious was written about me that I recall, except one dude. I remember he made up a quote and attributed it to me, which I didn't know it at the time, but this dude turned out to be a real a-hole. I believe he's an architect now. I wouldn't hire him to design a Gabby's dollhouse for my daughter. So yeah, I saw this story on the Super Bowl pregame special, and I knew much of it wasn't true. Kind of like the more you know, the more you realize the news is fake, that sort of thing. maybe a better story. So my brother saw Ryan Clark at the airport and started chatting him up. And he asked him if he remembered the intense basketball games with the scrappy kids from Thibodaux, Louisiana. And he did. And then he asked him if he remembered his little brother. And he did. He remembered the kid he called Popeye. That was his nickname for me. Even though I didn't eat spinach as a kid, I don't think I ate it once. That was all bullshit, right? The whole eat spinach, get stronger. I mean, I eat spinach all the time as an adult. I haven't added much muscle. I reckon with the internet, I could look it up, but I haven't. I also eat quite a few apples, still go to the doctor quite a bit. But hey, at least Santa's real. I know because I am him now. But going back to Clark, so it's cool. It's really cool to see all these former players, wide receivers especially, who used to be these flashy loudmouths, and then they'll retire and get good jobs in television. I'm thinking like Randy Moss or Chris Carter, Shannon Sharpe. Some of the things Shannon Sharpe has done with Ocho Cinco are the funniest clips of podcast I've seen. It kind of makes you wonder if Chris Collinsworth is a DEI hire. But those former receivers I mentioned are so much more entertaining than, say, Dan Fouts or Phil Sims. But Clark is a total stud. You know, he went undrafted out of LSU and then signed as a free agent with the Giants. He got a $1,000 signing bonus and then spent most of his rookie year on the practice squad. Then a few years later, he was signed by the Redskins to back up Sean Taylor, who was a rookie at that time. Speaking of badasses, Sean Taylor came out of Miami and was the 5th pick overall. You know, he not only played football at Miami, but he also ran the 100 meters and 200 meters. When I was in college, the indoor track team needed somebody to run the 50-meter sprint. So I got excited and I went to coach's office and I asked him what he thought about me doing it. It's one of the few things I'm good at, running in a straight line for a short distance. Any farther than that, I'm pretty sure the black dudes would catch up to me and cross the finish line well before I did. But you want me to race to the car to see who rides shotgun? You're probably sitting in the back. Anyway, Sean Taylor, as you may know, had his life tragically cut short when I believe it was 5 teenagers broke into his house and shot him. I remember the one who pulled the trigger didn't get the death penalty because he was 17 at the time, which is such BS. To think that you could escape the death penalty because, well, you've been on Earth 6,500 days instead of 6,600 days, that is, it's ridiculous. Save the taxpayers some money and end that murderer's life. Same for the Venezuelan convicted of murdering Lake and Riley last week. Why are we letting that piece of shit chill with his trendy agua buddies doing bench press in the yard and reading good books at night? Kill that bastard. Where was I? Ryan Clark. So he had to beat out 3 other safeties to earn a spot as a free safety opposite Sean Taylor, who was the strong safety, taken 5th overall, as I said. By the way, now that wokeism is dead, can we do a Biden-Kamala-type switch with the commander's name and just reinstall the Redskins as the name for the Washington Football Club, please. So when Clark parted ways with the Redskins in, this is 2006, he signed with the Steelers. Then, of course, like I said, won a Super Bowl in 08. Well, he had to overcome a sickle cell condition where he couldn't play at high altitudes. So in a game against Denver, he was rushed to the hospital and had to have his spleen and his gallbladder removed. So every time the Steelers played in Denver after that, they made him inactive. He couldn't play. So like I said, total stud, and I'm proud to have known somebody like that. He's an inspiration. And you know, when I think about stuff like that for my own life, things that I've gotten to experience, I get real grateful because it means the Lord blessed me with enough talent to make the All-Star team when I was little. And so I got to play against guys like him, and he was good. So he was the point guard. He was probably the tallest kid on their team because despite the fact that we were all playing as 10s, I think we started playing together when we were 10, we also played as 11s and then 12s, And he was almost a full year older than many of us, me especially, because I was born in June of 80. And so because the cutoff date was September, he was born in October. So he was, what, 10% older than me? 10% is a lot when kids are competing in sports. So he was older, very mature, and even though he wouldn't shut up the whole game, you could tell he was smart. In fact, even if our team was playing and his team was playing after ours, you could hear him holding court in the stands with his teammates, or even a few of the dads. I want to say I remember him talking to a few of our dads, which is always the sign of a mature kid, right? When you see one of the better players talking to the opposing team's dads, that's always kind of impressed me. All the trash talking when I was a kid, it was probably a byproduct of coming up in the Larry Bird, Michael Jordan era, because nobody talked more trash than those two. Might be why I still talk shit today. I don't know. But that's how Clark was. And I've never had a problem with guys who talk trash as long as they can back it up. So I liked him. It probably helps that he took a liking to me. Maybe because I gave it back to him and not too many kids were doing that at that age. But is there anything worse than a dude who talks too much but can't back it up? To me, that just speaks of an arrogance that nobody wants to deal with. Or they talk, you know, these people too, they talk to motivate themselves and then fall on their face when it comes game time. What's that old line about your mouth writing checks that your body can't cash? That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, God bless that dude. I'll always pull for him. Who do you think history will remember as the most prolific propagandist of the last decade? If it's true the corporate media is dying, I think it is, or at least I hope it is, we'll all look back on this era as that time when the theater kids got into positions of power, not just in politics, but in the news organizations. And they would just make things up and then try to sell it with the faces that they make. Drama queens everywhere. It's always bothered me that so many people are unable to tell when someone is acting. I actually think superstars in politics and media are discovered based on their acting ability. Like when they say, oh, that guy's got political talent, it means he's good at acting, usually, at least on the leftist side. Because kingmakers know how powerful that skill is. I mean, how easy is it for us to get immersed in a movie and forget that they're acting? Or how long does it take for some people to realize pro wrestling is fake, or they just deny the fact that it's not real? Which it was really cool to listen to Hulk Hogan on Theo Von's podcast. If you're looking for a good 2-hour listen, that one is really good. You wouldn't think it is, but if you followed pro wrestling as a kid, you'll really enjoy that episode. But kingmakers know that if you're a good actor, you can manipulate your face to the emotion required for whatever it is, the role you're playing. And then people will not only believe you, but they'll think you're smart. Like Matt Damon, people think he's smart when he gives his opinion on politics. He's not. He's not smart. I mean, I'm sure he's a smart fella, and I like his acting, but anyway, those are my thoughts. But why do you think Democrats roll out so many actors to persuade people? What's been funny this past election, the past election cycle, is to see the great actors try to put on a performance when their script sucks. Thinking of Robert De Niro. He was so bad. But so many people have awakened to the con, like the LBG cutie thing. I mean, trying to lump people together to create a voting block, it's so obvious now, right? Knowing in the real world, lesbians and gays, they don't even like each other, much less hang out. No, it's about power, which is what all the acronyms in politics are about. DEI being the worst of it. That's how you get idiots in positions of power, like the Kamalas or Letitia or Mayorkas, KJP, Big Fanny. People seek power for themselves by way of signaling their virtue. They pretend to care. Pretending is acting. I love what Elon Musk said. He said, "I care about the reality of goodness, not the perception of it." And of course, actors everywhere got pissed. Because they want the rewards for acting like they care. They play pretend for a living. Is there any wonder why the actors don't like the doers? A doer's got to do shit. A doer takes a doo-doo on the actor's worldview, and they don't like that. They want to claim they're compassionate so they can continue to think highly of themselves living in the Hollywood Hills. How is it that so many of the mouthpieces of propaganda are gay or effeminate? Anderson Cooper, Don Lamone, Rachel Maddow, Tim Walz, Harry Sisson, Jesse Smollett, even those who aren't, I mean, we wonder, right? Like Seth Meyers, Jimmy Kimmel, Colbert, all those late night hosts. I mean, they're straight. If a $3 bill is straight, they are too. I mean, it's no wonder trans became such a prominent issue in America as we conflated the sexes or the genders. Here's a crazy story I haven't told. I was in Thailand with a couple of buddies. We were on Bangala Road. Bangala Road is like the Bourbon Street of Phuket, the largest island in Thailand. And we were talking to these two girls who must have been about 20 years old. This is over a decade ago, not recent. And we're drinking beers, listening to some good music. And there are so many ladyboys mixed in this part of Thailand that a lot of times you can't tell whether a girl is a dude or not. So we asked these two girls, how do you tell? And we had been talking to them for maybe 15 minutes. And they looked at each other and started to giggle. And we're like, what's funny? And they told us that one of them was a ladyboy. And we were like, no, that's not possible. We don't believe you. I mean, we were shocked. There was no way one of these gals was not a gal. So one of my buddies pulls out a $10 bill and says, we don't believe you. Prove it. I'll never forget this. So she opens her legs a little. And she was sitting like a lady wearing these little white shorts. And she pulls the front of them down. And she has to make an adjustment to pull, like she sits up on the chair because she had to pull what she had from where it was tucked. And she, or he, whatever, had a micro penis. It looked like a tiny carrot that was tucked underneath. Very easy to see how the dudes in The Hangover were fooled. I believe Thailand is such a haven for transsexuals because, well, one, they don't have body hair. And two, if all you have to tuck is a baby carrot, then that makes it easier, right? It's a wild world out there. And you realize when you're in Thailand, you are halfway around the world. I was going through an interview process at that time, and they must have scheduled, I don't know, 8 different phone calls with 8 different people. And they would schedule the call for, say, 9 a.m., and it would be 9 p.m. in Thailand. So they're exactly 12 hours apart, which makes you realize I am on the other side of the world. So it's a pretty cool experience. Anyone listen to the Suge Knight interview from prison where he talks about Diddy and Bieber and Arsha Baby? It is also wild and very believable. Suge Knight is credible when you listen to it. You ever see the video of Tupac being interviewed as a 17-year-old? It is crazy. I am now convinced all that gangster stuff was just acting. He was a theater kid. He was a pretty good actor. I don't know if you've seen Poetic Justice with Janet Jackson, but he was good. Janet Jackson was too. For the record, my favorite Janet Jackson song is Rhythm Nation, in case you're looking for a hitter to go get your cardio on next, after you listen to this, or maybe while you're listening to this, after you're done, put on Rhythm Nation. It'll fire you up. It's a jam from the 80s. But yeah, Tupac, I think he knew that the gangster thing would make him a self-made millionaire. Thug living out of prison, pistols in the air. That's just my theory anyway. Have you heard Peter Thiel talk about this stuff? So he believes that you don't get to powerful positions in America unless you've been compromised. And I guess if you're not compromised, usually sexually, but not always, then you're not worthy of office because they can't control you. So what they'll do is try to destroy you with sex claims. And they'll either just make it up or talk about an instance from your sexual past and just hope that it sticks. But it doesn't often work. Look at Kavanaugh or Trump. And it probably won't work with Pete Hegseth either. Every married man who didn't marry his high school sweetheart is going to have a sexual past. And with politics being a religion for so many nowadays, it'd be easy to find a woman from your past who buys into the lies that abortion is over. It's going to be banned federally, which, of course, that's made up too. And just get them to say, I said no 35 years ago. Even if there's surveillance video of you walking arm in arm with one of the best looking dudes on TV to his hotel room. That's what happened with Hegseth. But sorry, Toots, that's not working. To me, it seems like people are starting to prefer somebody who maybe has a little infidelity in their past versus someone who leads a secretive lifestyle that's kept under wraps, primarily by those in control. Latinx, Latinx, that's another grouping that people rejected, especially if you know any Latinos or Latinas. They don't buy into that bullshit. All that's political. It is contrived by affluent white female liberals, or AWFLs is the acronym there. It went unnoticed for a while because America was so prosperous, so successful. I mean, we had achieved a standard, we have achieved a standard of living that is the envy of the world. And I think most Americans don't travel enough to realize this, probably because it takes so long to get somewhere else. I mean, if you live on the West Coast and you want to go to Europe, you've got to travel all the way across America before you even get to the Atlantic Ocean. And then that's a long trek across the ocean. So anyway, so it went unnoticed that we were so successful and allowed for so many women and gays into position of power. What's the old quote about hard times create strong men? Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and then weak men create hard times. I was a little concerned that things had not gotten bad enough in the U.S. for us to put strong men back in office. And I said this last episode, but if you think I'm just being partisan, I do realize the right has its own shenanigans. For example, I don't believe Michelle Obama has a cock. I really don't. But if you have a picture of her pregnant, forward that to me so we can go viral together. I've long said actors support leftists, or them supporting leftists is only natural because actors are going to support other actors, especially when they don't have to compete with them for a job. And it also helps them, right? If they have political connections, that's power and they get to go to the parties and that sort of thing. But once you see this, you start seeing it everywhere. And some get caught off guard where they've lost entirely their ability to be genuine, assuming they've ever had it at all. I'm thinking of Hillary Clinton seeing balloons at the DNC convention. Remember that face she made? It was so phony. All right, let's finish with kids say the darndest thing. So the other night, I'm putting my 3-year-old to bed, and she says, Daddy, your hair looks wet. And I said, yeah, it's a little oily. That happens when I don't wash my hair that day. Like I haven't showered since the night before. It looks wet, kind of. And I can always tell by the look on her face whether she gets what I'm saying. So I go, can you say oily? And she tried 3 times and couldn't get it. So I slowed it down for her and I said, repeat after me, oi. And she would say oi and I would say lee. And then we put them together and, you know, it took maybe like 4 or 5 more tries and finally she got it. So the next day, we're eating lunch as a family, and I say to my little girl, I say, I washed my hair last night after you went to bed. See, it doesn't look greasy anymore. And she says, looking good, Daddy. And I said, tell Mommy, what's that word I taught you last night? And she is racking her brain trying to remember. So I say, what's the one word you learned yesterday? And she closes her eyes, and she opens them, and she goes, ratchet? No, your mom must have taught you that one. So we had a good laugh. Thank y'all for tuning in. Before you go, if you want to be part of the one-on-one coaching program that I've been doing for nearly 6 years now, send me an email or DM and we'll get you set up, get you moving in the right direction. in all aspects of life that matter. Till next time. Thank you, folks.